Hi. So I will just start by saying that I do mostly work with the Amish, and the people that were are involved in our Kenya program that I'm going to be talking about today are actually in Kenya, which is why somebody from that program isn't speaking about what they're doing. So, and also, as soon as I'm done talking, I have to jet for the airport, so I'll have to hopefully have a few minutes for questions afterwards. So, how many of you have children? So if your child had sickle cell disease and lived in many parts of sub-Saharan Africa, they would likely not see their fifth birthday. So today I'm going to be talking about a pilot study to measure the efficacy of a neonatal sickle cell screening and comprehensive care program that we're starting in Kenya. I have no relationships to disclose. Just a brief introduction on sickle cell disease. It is an inherited hemoglobinopathy that results from an amino acid substitution in the beta globin molecule of hemoglobin. And it results in red blood cells becoming, taking on a sickle shape, as you can see on the right-hand side of the diagram. And that leads to many complications. The one that we think of the most probably is the pain, the pain crises that result from an obstruction of blood flow. But a very significant problem is that many individuals with sickle cell disease in early life have basically a non-functioning spleen, and that results in a very high risk of infection. And then there are a number of other complications that you can see here. So just to note that I'm not specifically talking about sickle cell trait today, which is really carriers of sickle cell disease. I'm focusing on people affected with the disease. There are a few therapies that are available to combat the risk of high risk of infection. The two main therapies are prophylactic antibiotics, mainly penicillin, and then also vaccinations. And in the U.S. and the U.K., those have been shown to dramatically reduce the mortality in people with sickle cell disease. Folic acid, it promotes the production of red blood cells because sickled red blood cells have a short half-life. And blood transfusions are used to kind of dilute out the sickled cells. Hydroxyurea is a therapy that's used to promote an increase in fetal hemoglobin, and that helps also with the complications. So there is a cure for sickle cell disease. It's bone marrow transplant, but it's not widely used. Only about 150 have been successfully performed to date. In 2004 and 2005, sickle cell disease was added to the list of diseases of urgent priority in sub-Saharan Africa. However, due to limited resources and experience, expertise, and advocacy, very little has been done to address this. So this slide points out some health disparities between the U.S. and Kenya with regard to sickle cell disease. Both the incidence and prevalence of sickle cell disease are higher in Kenya than in the U.S., and in fact, about twice as many people in Kenya are living with sickle cell disease. In the U.S., the age of diagnosis is at birth because we have mandatory neonatal screening for hemoglobinopathies, which includes sickle cell disease. However, in Kenya, there is no widespread screening, and only a few facilities offer testing for sickle cell disease, but those facilities are limited as well. So really what ends up happening is that a lot of people with sickle cell disease die before they even know that they have it. Therapies in the U.S. are, for the most part, widely available. In Kenya, it's probably not that big of a surprise, given this talk, that there are little to none, and that has a huge impact on life expectancy. In the U.S., the average life expectancy is 45 to 55 years, whereas in Kenya, it's only 5 years of age. So, and actually there's a typo on the slide, it's supposed to say 1998, I believe. The Indiana University joined up with Moi Teaching and Referral Hospital in Eldoret, Kenya, and formed a twinning program. Really, the purpose of it was to prevent and combat HIV/AIDS. And then in 2010, our organization, the Indiana Hemophilia Center, kind of piggybacked off of the IU link to MTRH, and we formed our own twinning program to increase the non-malignant hematology services that MTRH hospital was providing. As a result, we have set up Kenya's only functioning coagulation lab, and we have set up diagnosis and treatment, the comprehensive care program for hemophilia. And our team recently, in the spring of this year, went to set up a sickle cell screening lab. Our team is there now, and they've done extensive training of the staff there so that when they leave, they can take off with this program. And it's very exciting because actually today was the first day that they started the screening, which I'll get to here. So our program really starts with the births in the hospital. The MTRH has about 40 births per day, and so based on the incidence of sickle cell disease in Kenya, we expect that over the course of a year, we would expect about 73 people to be born with sickle cell disease. Mothers who have infants born there would be, we would discuss with them the screening program, and then we would talk about what it can mean and what we can do, and they would offer screening for the newborn, and the mother would have to provide consent for her child to be enrolled. We would provide free testing before the baby leaves the hospital. And then if there is a positive screen that comes back, we would contact them within a week of that screen by cell phone, which is actually a pretty good way to contact people there. In Kenya, I think it's estimated that about 85% of the people there have cell phone coverage. And finally, confirmatory testing would be performed at the patient's three-month follow-up visit, and that's something that we're hoping, as you just said, if they perceive that there is a problem, and we would tell them with a positive screen, that gives them motivation to come back at their three-month follow-up. So with all that, we do provide we hope to provide families with education about sickle cell disease, what it means, what is available in terms of treatment, and then we'd also provide them with prophylactic penicillin and folic acid, free of charge up to age 5. And then individuals would also be given vaccinations for free because the Kenyan government covers those for children born there. So just to discuss quickly the economics, screening every baby born in the hospital in 1 year would cost $508, which is very reasonable. To provide for the 73 children that we would expect to be born in the hospital in a year, providing penicillin and folic acid would cost the penicillin would cost about $876 a year, the folic acid just a little over $2,000 a year. So that brings our total cost for the screening and care program to about $3,500 a year. And again, the vaccinations are free for us because the government pays for those. And in addition, I'll just say that these numbers are very rough estimates and don't include the cost of labor. So what we would like to do in terms of measuring outcomes, so for a 5-year pilot study, we would like to measure the actual number of births in the hospital, measure the number of presumptive positives from the screen, and then how many of those were actually confirmed as being diagnosed within the 6-month age period, how many of those babies and children are dying under the age of 5, how many are being put on prophylactic antibiotics, and how many families and caregivers are receiving education about sickle cell disease. So we do think that this has very important public health implications. So given that the sickle cell disease is on the list of urgent priorities, we think that implementing this program, this pilot study, will show that this is a program that is could be replicated in the rest of Kenya and other parts of sub-Saharan Africa so that it can decrease the morbidity and early mortality for children with sickle cell disease. And we really do think that the cost of this is economical and it's cost effective. So just in conclusion, these are our kind of goals, where we are and where we're going, again, to decrease the morbidity and mortality by providing life-saving screening and education and therapies for people with sickle cell disease. And I'll just mention that we would like to also offer them, as part of the comprehensive care program, hydroxyurea, but it's not cost effective at this point. We're working with pharmaceutical companies to hopefully get some at a price that is cost effective. We would like to eventually extend the program to include people with sickle cell trait that are picked up on newborn screening so that we can counsel them and their families on what it means to have trait and what that means in the future when they do have children. And then we would, again, just like to see this program developed throughout Kenya and other parts of sub-Saharan Africa. So that is my presentation. Do I have a few minutes for questions? Or
yeah, you have 3 minutes.
Okay, great. So does anybody have any questions? And I will preface that by saying that I don't know necessarily the ins and outs of this program, but I'll do my best to answer any questions. I don't know why Indiana University chose that hospital initially. That's the reason we got involved with that hospital is because we just piggybacked off of IU. They have a really good thing going, and we were able to use a lot of their resources, including shipping things over. They know it's easy for us to piggyback off them.
Mm-hmm. Is there some sort of memorandum of understanding or contractual arrangement between your organization and the hospital?
Yes, there is, and I don't know the details of it. But if you would like more information, I can give you my contact info. And we can.
Presumably, it includes their agreement to carry out the activities and provide that their staff would actually do the work.
Right. Yes, and just to note that back when they took the trip in the spring of 2012, they were hoping that the program would actually get started then, and they came back to the U.S. and it didn't get off the ground, and it was because the staff didn't feel comfortable enough with the equipment and how to do the screening. And so this trip, they're over there right now, and they are providing care for hemophilia and other things, but they really are focusing on training the staff, making sure they're comfortable with how to run the screen and how to educate families and talk to families about that. And so today they actually started the first screen, and they screened 140 babies. And they probably have results there, but we don't have them yet. We don't know what they found any. So that's very exciting.
Well, just a comment that this is a very promising start to addressing a very thorny problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.